Take your Bible and look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And if you have an old Scofield reference Bible, it's found on page 428. For all you deacons, it's after 1 Kings. Second Kings, chapter number 6. And the first part of 1 Kings deals with a very familiar story you've heard sermons preached on a long time. And it's about the floating axe head and have you lost your power and all of those kinds of things. And that has to do with your power, but where I want to start is about verse number 8. And in verse number 8 starts a story, not dealing necessarily with the power, but the presence of God. Now, look at verse number 8, and while we're reading this, it will be almost like you're reading the morning newspaper. There's a country here, the king of Syria. And they are warring against the nation of Israel. If you'll stay with me here today, we're going somewhere. It may take me a minute to get there, but we're going somewhere. And this country of Syria is warring against the nation of Israel. And Israel always seems to find some way to get out of arm's length of it. And I'll tell you why. Because they have an unseen hand that's watching over them. Now watch in verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place. Now you know it's a big word. There's a lot of big words in the Bible, but you know it's a big word when even the Holy Spirit says, just put in such and such a place. In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the men of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for hither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and he said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? There's a spy in the camp. Somebody keeps telling them birds when we're going to attack, and I'm tired of it. Which one of you birds is it? Somebody's calling him on the phone and telling him where we're going to be, when we're going to attack, and every time we go, they're gone. Right. And I'm mad. Well, that's in the Hebrew. Verse number 12, and one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now look at there. You got a preacher named Elisha, and God is speaking to Elisha, the man of God, and so the preacher calls the king of Israel and says, hey, I know what's going to happen tomorrow, and they're going to attack. You better move over here, and all that kind of thing. And that's what was going on. Now look at verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, now let me read that again, because y'all said amen like y'all ain't been to church in a while. So I'm going to read that again, because here's what's happening. The king of Syria got so mad at this preacher. was telling everything, and I don't know how he was getting his information. He didn't know God was giving his information. He got so mad, he said, you go find out, and we're going to surround him, and we're going to get that preacher. Him and his little servant, too. Both of them. And the preacher said, hey, y'all settle down. Don't fret about that. You see all them horses and chariots all around there? And they say, yeah, we sure do, man. They're about to kill us. We're toast. We're going down the tubes fast. We're toast. The preacher said, would y'all get somewhere and sit down? Because there's more that's on our side than's on their side. And then, verse 17, and Elisha prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for all of these folks being here today. Beautiful day outside, beautiful day on the inside. Lord, I pray that you'd help us get this message across. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, I've basically told you most of the story. The king of Syria, they're wanting to kill the people of God. That's what the devil does. The devil's got his guns lower deck level at your home and your kids, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to surround you. He wants to make you feel like the walls are coming in on top of you, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to depress you, and he wants to get you so defeated that you'll quit and you won't go forward and you'll just crawl up in a ball and you won't move forward for God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do that to everybody in here, and some of you, he's doing it real good. And he's got you surrounded, and the king of Syria had the nation of Israel surrounded. And the preacher said, hey, do you move over here? They won't bother you. Move over here, they won't bother you. And that king of Syria said, we're going to find out where he's at, and we're going to find out where that preacher is. We're going to catch him when he's over in his tent, and we're going to surround him. All the mountains were filled with enemy horses and chariots and all of those kinds of things. Well, the servant gets up the next morning. He goes out to check the mail. It's in there. He goes out to check the mail. And he's looking, and he's like, and he runs to wake up the preacher. Preacher, hey, we got to do something. What are we going to do? We're surrounded. I mean, look, our country is going down in a handbasket. I mean, this next election is going to determine whether we live, whether we survive, or whether we die. And it looks like the enemy is winning. It looks like Hillary... it looks like the devil is winning. I wouldn't have said that. Well, that's why God called me and didn't call you. Because he knew you was chicken and I wasn't chicken. We're toast. I mean, listen, this thing right here, we've already had a good Christian conservative, a chief justice leader that has died off the Supreme Court. And folks, we're surrounded. And the enemy has surrounded America. He surrounded the church. But my friend, I'm just here to tell you, the preacher rose up and said, fear not, for there's more on our side than is on the devil's side. And you need to rise up. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, because he said, open their eyes. And when he opened their eyes, he looked beyond the enemy's chariots and horses, and he saw a mountain full of those angelic hosts on those chariots of fire. Said, we're here. We're behind your back. I know you can't see the spiritual world, but I'm telling you, we're here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Rise up. Don't you worry about the next election. God God's on his way. God's on his throne. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. Well, that's a whole lot of work for no more response than I'm getting. And so this is what's happening. Some of you look defeated. Some of you look like you're surrounded. Some of you look like the devil has been beating you up for the last 2 weeks. And it looks like the devil is winning. And some of you are letting him win. But I'm just here to tell you, the devil wants to come and to kill and destroy. The enemy wants to destroy God's people. But I'm telling you, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. There was a March for Jesus in Washington, D.C. There's about 3,000 people gathered there. All the popular TV evangelists were there. They were allowed to speak, and these preachers got up. And they begin to speak. They begin to talk about immorality and the crime rate. And they begin to talk about the hatred going on in America and all of the abortions and all the drug addicts and all the alcoholism and all the child abuse. And boy, they was really down. And by the time all of these preachers got done, everybody in the crowd was depressed, beat down. I mean, they painted the picture like we're losing. And then there was a man, they let him speak last. His name was Bishop Smallwood Williams. He got up behind the podium and he said, after hearing all of my colleagues speak, he said, I just want to remind everybody that God is not dead. And God is not even on vacation. And God knows exactly what he's doing. And he said, fear not, for there's more on our side than's on their side. So rise up, be happy in the Lord. The king is on the way. Listen, folks, that's the way it is. And I'll tell you, let me pull this up. Let me pull this up. You might want to cut them back lights out. Paris, France. Paris, France, this painting hangs. A very powerful painting, especially. How many of you are chess players? Chess players. Pretty good chess players. All right, several of you. This was hanging in Paris, France. Very, very beautiful. And it paints the picture that the devil is playing chess with this man. And it appears, as you look by it, the painting is called Checkmate. Stay with me. The painting is called Checkmate. And the painting portrays the picture that the devil has moved into checkmate position. And the game is over. Once you checkmate, the game is over. And so they brought a class of all the top chess players. And they come to this museum. And they're all going through and they're looking. And they're looking at this famous picture because that's what they do. They play chess. And they're looking and they say, yep. And all of them pass through. They go start looking at some other paintings. And then this one boy comes through there and he stops. And he passes and he comes back. And he begins to scratch his head. He begins to look. He just shakes his head and walks away. And then he comes back. And then all of a sudden he begins to holler and scream. Hey! This ain't checkmate. This ain't checkmate. And they said, what are you talking about? He said, look, right here. The king has got one more move. Let me come over here to the Pentecostal side. He said, it looks like checkmate. But he said, that guy has got a king, and he's got one more move to make, and this game ain't over. This game is far from over. The king has got one more move. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, you may think it's over. You may think your life's going down the tubes in a handbasket, but I'm telling you what, the king's got one more move to make, and he's going to move toward your direction. When you think it's over, when you think the whole hope is gone, I'm telling you, the king has got one more move to make. And he's coming your way. Some of you got problems. Some of you got problems on the job. Some of you got problems in the family. Problems in your finances. Problems in your health. But I'm telling you, it's not over till God says it's over. And you may think you're surrounded, but you pray in God, open my spiritual eyes. Let me see what you're doing on the other side that I cannot see. And boy, they opened the eyes and they saw chariots of fire and the angelic host. There's more. Ladies and gentlemen, when Lucifer fell out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him. That means two-thirds are still in heaven. That means there's more of us than there are of them. So somebody ought to be happy. Get your head up. Don't be depressed. Don't be down and out. The devil wants to get you a checkmate, but you tell him, check again, because the king's got one more move. Well, hallelujah. I wish somebody helped me preach today. Crisis situation, critical times, dark days, trials of your faith, bitter circumstances. I got news for you. The king's got another move. Some of you going through storms of life. You're battling through rough times, facing disappointments, down to your last ounce of strength. You're being tested and you're being tried. But I'm here to tell you, the king has got one more move to make. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I remember watching just the other day. I was sitting somewhere. Can't even remember where. You know, when you become a granddaddy, you just lose your mind. You lose your mind. I said, what do you want to be called? I said, I want to be the coolest granddaddy out there. I want to be a rapper granddaddy. They need to call me G-Daddy. Anyway, where was I going with that? I was watching Duke play basketball the other day. And I forgot who they were playing. And they were down by 1 point. And it was like maybe 3 seconds left on. You remember what? I don't even know who they're playing. But it might have been in the doctor's office. I was sitting there watching. And I'm like, man, this thing, it's over. 3 seconds, you can't score. Duke, you can't score in 3 seconds. And whoop this team, it's over. Cut the TV off. And I'm telling you what, they got over there, called timeout. They got over there and got their little pins and they drew them a little. And I'm like, okay, let me see how this is going to end. I'm telling you, they had this little short guy and they give him the ball. He goes up to the top of the key, and I'm talking about launches one. I'm talking about a prayer, a hope and a prayer. You with me? And he just lobs it up there, and I'm like, man, it's over. Okay, that ball goes in. Duke wins by 1 point. Everybody rushes out onto they tackle a little guy, and everybody's dogpiling him. You say, preacher, what'd you tell us that stupid story for? Here's what I'm telling you. It ain't over till God says it's over. And you may think there's no hope. You may think that this thing is over and it's over and done with, and the devil's done got you down and he's done moved. He's done moved to where he says, checkmate. And you tell the devil, you better check again, because the king over here has got one more move to make. And it may be in your life, you may be going through an awful time. All through the Bible. The devil has always been against God's people. And he's been against God's people. In Exodus 14, you know the story. They're released out of an Egyptian bondage. They come up on the Red Sea. They can't go forward. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. And they can't go back. The Egyptian army's coming up on the back. Their past is haunting them. They can't go to the right or left. And they sure can't go forward. And the devil says, checkmate. And so Moses says, Lord, looks like we're toast. And God says, Moses, hush. It's in the Hebrew. Hush. I got the last move. And he said, just raise your rod up. He raised his rod up, and parted the water. They walked across. God made a way where there wouldn't seem to be no way. They walked across on dry ground, got onto the other side, and started singing. Why? Because the king's got one more move to make. And when it looks hopeless and it looks over and it looks like nothing can be done, that's when God... You say, why does God do that? Because, listen, folks, if there's any hope that we can do anything, God don't get the glory. If there's any hope, then we say, boy, whew, got out of that one. But if you're surrounded and you're down and it looks like the devil's done moved into position and you're like, okay, Lord, there's nothing else I can do. God says, that's where I like to work. God says, I like to work when nothing else will. Somebody will be getting something on that. And so God says, let me just move right over here and tell the devil, get somewhere and sit down. Now the game's over. All through the Bible. You think about this. You think about over there in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 tells you a very familiar story you heard in Sunday school. And there's a 9-foot giant over there, a 9-foot Philistine Muslim giant with a towel wrapped around his head. And all of a sudden, this little short, ruddy, ugly Jewish boy shows up and says, why are y'all letting that 9-foot giant cuss God's people? It's King Saul. King Saul was a big man himself. King Saul says, well, we're sort of scared of him. King David says, for what? What are you afraid of? And he says, well, he's too big. And King David said, little David says, he's too big to miss. Man, them big dudes, man, they're easy to whoop. Hit them in the kneecap, man, they're going down. You don't work up top, you work low. Football, underneath. Man, you got to know them little tricks to survive. Hallelujah. King David says, hey, I'll go out there. They said, well, you better put some armor on. He said, no, I won't need any armor. That stuff you got ain't been tried and tested. You going out there with just a slingshot? Oh, yeah. I've killed a bear with this. I killed a lion with this. This has been tested. You going out there with just that? Oh, yeah, that's been tested. It's been tried and tested, and it's still doing the trick. King David walks out there and he goes, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And see, God likes to do things like that because you're placing your bet and going, well, Goliath's going to get this one. And the devil says, ah, little David, checkmate. And little David says, devil, you might want to check again because the king's got one more move. And he's the stone hewed out of the mountain, and he's the stone I just put in the... I just picked up 5-foot smooth stones out of this brook. You say, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? Because Goliath had 4 little brothers. He's going to get them too if they made a move. Hallelujah. Get them all. Wipe them all out. Hallelujah. Nuke them till they glow and then shoot them in the dark. Woo! Hallelujah. King David wound it up. And that rock hit him right in the forehead. And I'm talking about he went over there, cut that giant's head off. Why? Because the king's got one more move. You think about a fellow by the name of Daniel. Daniel was told they voted prayer out of the school. They voted prayer out of the courthouse. They voted prayer out of everything. Daniel said, help yourself. Vote on what you want to. Cast God out. I'm still going to pray like I always did. The king says, well, if you do, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. He said, well, you just throw me in the lion's den. I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to do what I've always done. I've always trusted the Lord, and he's a whole lot bigger than y'all. So us, me and God is a majority. So y'all do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to keep praying. And y'all vote. Y'all do whatever you want to do. I'm going to still stick with the Lord. I'm going to still stick with the Bible. Y'all do what you want to do. I said, well, I tell you what, you go find out if Daniel's praying this morning. He always prays 3 times a day, and you go check. He opened up. Oh, Daniel wasn't afraid. He didn't go in a closet nowhere and hide. He busted the windows open, and he said, "Oh, dear God of heaven." Son, I'm talking about praying. Praying like a North Carolina preacher. I'm talking about some of you not used to this kind of preaching where they start hacking and sweating and all of that. Some of you used to this. Dearly beloved, we are glad y'all came today. I really don't know anything to preach because I didn't study nothing this week. Son, he started praying, and they said, "We're throwing Daniel in the lion's den." They said, "Get him, throw him in that lion's den." He said, "Throw him in the lion's den. I don't care. Them out lions hadn't ate. They ain't ate for a long time." Amen. So they threw Daniel in there. Them lions didn't even come near him. Daniel said, "Boy, there ain't no bed in here. How am I going to sleep?" God whispered in one of them lions' ears. One of them lions went over and laid down. Two of them laid down side by side together like that. And Daniel said, "Well, it looks like a bed." Daniel just crawled up in the crack of them two lions. Boy, slept like a baby all night long. You say, "Is that in there?" It ought to be. King got up, said, "Hey, go check on Daniel. I'm sure he's gone now. Them lions lapped him up, I guarantee you." They opened it up, said, "Daniel." He said, "Yep, I'm here praying." Because see, when the devil says, "Checkmate," hey, God has always got the last move. And you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Because God, the Father, is always near. And He knows where you're at. You're going through something today, and you may be surrounded, and the walls are come tumbling in. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bend, they didn't burn, and they didn't bow. They got thrown in the fiery furnace. And I'm telling you what, God showed up in the middle of the fiery furnace. They wasn't by themselves. They had somebody extra in there with them. And the king said, "I thought we threw in three. I'm counting four. And the fourth appears to be the Son of God." And the Lord walked into that fire and He says, "Checkmate. Now it's over." You have to understand, folks, the devil don't have the last say. And he wants to destroy you and defeat you and to get you to quit. But I'm here to tell you, when the devil says checkmate, you just tell the devil, "Get somewhere and sit down. God has got the last move." And I'm telling you, He's coming your direction. You say, "Preacher, what are we going to do?" I'm almost done. Hey, let's practice something. If you was here a couple of Wednesday nights, let's practice something. For we walk by and not by what? So we're not worried about the devil's chariots and his horses. We're not worried about what it looks like. We're not worried about what it appears to be. But God the Father has got a whole army that surrounded this place that you can't see with the natural eye. You have to look at it with the spiritual eye. God is in control. He knows exactly what He's doing. Say, "Preacher, what are we going to do?" We still got the Scriptures that still speak. What are we going to do? We still have a Savior that still saves. Well, somebody ought to be getting excited on that. We got the Scriptures that still speak to us. We got a Savior that still saves. The saints have still got a song. Say, "Preacher, what do? When trouble comes, you sing your way through it." You remember Grandma? She had that old apron, that old beat up apron around. She'd be sitting there washing the dishes. And probably couldn't sing that well. But boy, she'd start singing. And you know what? That got her through the day. Why? The saints still got a song to sing. Amen. Hey, and some of you need to realize, hey, music is good. It'll get you through some dark days. Listen, music's like candy. You throw all the wrappers away. Young people, did y'all hear me? all the wrappers away. Hallelujah. Stephen, you know you like that. That's good. We have the seed that still needs to be sown. The Spirit is still reproving the world of sin. And let me finish right here. The second coming is still on schedule. Still on schedule. And it's coming. The King has got one more move. And you may be saying, preacher, man, this thing is over. Man, it's over. Man, I'm telling you, it is over. We're surrounded. We're going down. Hey, fear not. Fear not. For there's more on our side than it is on theirs. And the church needs to rise up. The church needs to rise up. The church needs to rise up out of depression. The church needs to rise up out of despair. The church needs to rise up and march toward the kingdom of God and say, we're going to take as many people with us as possible. The King's got another move. Devil, you can't get behind me. Satan, you cannot destroy me. You can't have the church. You can't have my kids. I'm going to raise them up in a Bible-believing church. You can't have them. You can't have them. And the church is going to get them, and they're going to teach them and love them and show them the Bible and show them the way and tell them the truth where it makes them mad or not. And hallelujah, amen. The King's got another move. So you say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, you have no reason to worry, no reason to fear. For the God of heaven is always near. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, right now.